This is the Mike Shamari Show. My guest today will be performing with Bobby Caldwell this Sunday, October 1st, at the Rodney Strong Winery in Healdsburg, California. Her latest album, Revolving Door, has been out for 2 weeks now, and it has been well worth the wait. Please welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show guitarist Joyce Cooling.
Hi, Mike.
Hi, Joyce.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good.
How have you been?
Just good. Busy, you know, with a new CD out, but it's all good stuff. These are the problems you want.
Mm-hmm.
This is the type of busyness you want, so it's all good.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And what else have you been up to since we last spoke over a year ago?
It's been over a year. Yeah, it has been. When I saw that we were going to talk today, I was like, oh, Mike, boy, that's been a long time. So I've been, you know me, misbehaving, as always, and getting into any kind of trouble I can and making a lot of music and working hard on the CD. This was a very rewarding and difficult at times. It kind of covered the spectrum of emotions. It was extremely rewarding, extremely frustrating at times. It was the type of CD, Mike, where it was a real personal CD for us. All the songs are about something personal that's going on in our lives or with people we know and love and that kind of thing. So it's a very, I'd like to say, kind of a warm, fuzzy CD, at least for me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you make a CD like that, you want to make sure that it's authentic and the truth. And so you want to make sure that everything is kind of a slice of life,
mm-hmm,
and present that. And so that takes a little more futzing around than if you're just going to make a collection of songs.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Joyce Cooling here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Well, last time Revolving Door was still a work in progress, but now it's out, so tell us about it.
It is a collection of songs, and each song has a different little story attached to it. But the overall meaning of the CD, meaning the title Revolving Door, is about mental illness, believe it or not. I grew up with a brother with schizophrenia.
Ooh.
And never knew how to help him. I'm not a medical person. I'm not a professionally trained person to deal with such things. And I feel kind of silly, Mike. I really do. I was sitting there all these years not knowing how to help him. And then all of a sudden, it's that light bulb moment of, duh, well, I play music. And we could kind of get the word out about it through music. And so a portion of the proceeds are going to go directly to NAMI, National Alliance on Mental Illness. That's NAMI.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a really very cool grassroots organization made up of people like me and my mom and my family and others like us. And so we're just going to make this CD about something. So that's all good stuff. I'm happy about that.
And while we're on the subject, I should point out, as I pointed out to my listeners back in July, that I, for the last 7 years, well, for all my life, I was diagnosed in 99 with Asperger's syndrome.
Oh, good gracious.
Yes.
Okay, well, you know what the revolving door is.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Mm-hmm. And that's really brave of you, by the way, to just be so out about it. And many times with a lot of afflictions, but especially with things that affect the brain, which affect behavior and things like that, people are ashamed about them without reason, but I understand what happens. People are ashamed of it, and there's a lot of stigma and guilt and shame attached to it, so people don't talk about it,
mm-hmm,
and it remains in the dark. And because it's in the dark, people don't talk about it. But then people don't talk about it because it's in the dark, and so you see that revolving door thing that,
yes,
I'm talking about.
Yes, I get it now.
And so I thought when it was time to make a CD, Mike, I said, well, you know, it felt very kind of flat and vapid to make another CD just about some songs driving down the highway kind of songs. Not that there's a time and place for that. I love that, too, and there's some happy, light tunes on the CD. But I needed to make it about something to feel, I needed to make it about something. So that's how this whole thing came about. But also I wanted to say that it's not a collection of songs about mental illness at all. It's,
mm-hmm,
a collection of music, like my other CDs.
Right.
The impetus behind it is more personal, is about this whole mental illness and NAMI thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
There we go. Well, why don't we get into some particular tracks on there? The whole album kicks off with Mildred's Attraction.
Yeah, Mildred, and you're undoubtedly going to ask me, Who is Mildred and what is she attracted to?
That is what I was actually thinking, yes.
I'm not trying to be cryptic here, Mike. I'm really not, I promise you.
Okay.
Not trying to be secretive, but Mildred's a secret for now, and we're going to disclose all that on our website little by little.
Okay.
So again, I'm not being cryptic. It's kind of the way it turned out.
Okay. That's fine. We'll find out in due time.
In due time. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fair enough. Show enough.
Exactly.
And I'm going to leave that in, folks. Because I love to hear myself have uncontrollable laughter. I remember the Jay Rowe, keyboardist Jay Rowe that I spoke to back in August.
Jay is a buddy and a great musician and funny as heck.
Mm-hmm. You know Jay?
Yes, we run into him on the road all the time. And Jay Rowe and Jay Wagner, mm-hmm. also keyboardist, and my other half here, my partner in crime with all this music.
Right.
Those guys talk constantly. They get together, and they're just, it's keyboards, music, and he's just a great guy. So we all get along infamously.
Mm-hmm. And I know Jay, I met Jay Rowe through Chiellini Minucci and
exactly.
Special Effects.
Exactly.
And I'm going to go to the Nelson Rangel concert next week at IMAC, Intermedia Arts Center in Huntington. Jay Rowe will be there.
Wonderful.
For those just tuning in, where have you been? As I said last week with Gerald Albright, threw that joke in there. We're talking with Joyce Cooling on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. It's her return interview. Right now we are going through the tracks on her new album, Revolving Door. So the next track is Cool of the Night.
It was conceived and recorded at night, very much in the wee hours. It kind of takes us back to our Brazilian days.
Mm-hmm.
And we called up a friend from our Brazilian club days in the 80s here in San Francisco, Celso Alberti. Celso's from Brazil, but has been living in the Bay Area now for many, many years. And we used to play in these little bands back then in the 80s, and little Brazilian jazz bands and sort of offshoots of that, contemporary music mixed with Brazilian. And when it came time to record Cool of the Night, we were like, well, let's call Celso, you know? Let's give him a shout. So he came over, and Celso loves to fuse a lot of different types of music together. So he came over with brushes and percussion and sounds, and he even played a pair of brushes on newspaper. And we just set some mics up in the room and said, go for it. So we started layering tracks of rhythm and cymbals and all different colors, and that really gave a lot of the forward motion to Cool of the Night. So it was a fun kind of collective project.
The next track is the title track, Revolving Door.
With all this mental illness thing, Mike, I didn't know how to put that into lyrics. That one, for me, personally, had to be an instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a slow shuffle. It's got angst in it. But then when you get to the chorus section or the little bridge, it lifts to a brighter key and modulates up and the melody lifts. And so it's sort of the way I feel about this whole revolving door thing. Where, yeah, there are a lot of problems with it. Mental illness is very, very behind the curve, medically speaking, behind other diseases. We've made all these great modern miracles of medicine,
mm-hmm.
breakthroughs with physical diseases, as we should. But we haven't done that with mental illness because of the darkness and the shame that we spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, I feel optimistic about it. And so that's how the song goes. I feel if we do come out about it, if everybody comes out and we get over this stigma, then sort of the bridge kind of represents the hopefulness of that. And
mm-hmm.
so it's an instrumental tune that sort of maybe reflects my feelings about it. So that's Revolving Door.
The next track is At the Modern.
That was a fun day, or actually weekend, I should say. Jay and I have been working really hard on the CD. And I grew up back east, and my family is still back there, back in New York and New Jersey and
mm-hmm.
Long Island. And Manhattan and Queens is kind of the little hub of where my huge family is. And then we've got a bunch of people upstate New York, too.
Mm.
So we go back there all the time. And we said, well, we're back doing visiting family and taking care of some business back there in New York. And so we said, well, let's spoil ourselves. We've been working hard. So we just grabbed a hotel in Manhattan for a couple nights. And true confessions, I have an art Jones as well as a music Jones. I love art. I adore it. And I'm really, if I won the lottery, I'd spend all my money on CDs, instruments, and art. That, you
mm-hmm.
know, not cars, that wouldn't be where I'd spend my money. It would all be on art. So we spent the days just museum hopping, art museum hopping. Went to all these very cool, like the big museums there, the Museum of Modern Art and the Metropolitan Museum of Art, as well as a lot of little galleries all through Manhattan. And then at night we would be club hopping. So we just had a ball for a couple days, and we saw the Van Gogh drawing exhibit. And I had seen his paintings before, but never his drawings. And that blew us away. We spent hours in there. And I'm going to backtrack a little bit back to Revolving Door.
Okay.
As you know, Van Gogh, Vincent Van Gogh, had a huge struggle with severe mental illness and ended up committing suicide and all that. And if it weren't for his brother Theo, who was also in the Revolving Door, because family and friends of people with mental illness end up in that Revolving Door too. And if it weren't for his brother, who supported him emotionally and financially and otherwise, we wouldn't really have Vincent Van Gogh's art today. So that's just a little sidebar. There's a quote from NAMI that I like to use, and it says, "People with mental illness enrich our lives." And I like to think about people like Beethoven and Van Gogh. The world would be very different without them. But at any rate, back to that day. I was a little detour there, Mike. But
I do that too.
Yeah, but back to that day, we had a ball. So we left New York just brimming over with excitement and inspiration and all this great art and music input that we had, an overflux of it. So we left all just excited and really inspired. And so what At the Modern really is At the Modern Museum of Art. So it's kind of about that day and just an offshoot. We went home and wrote that tune. So.
And then the next track on Revolving Door is something we actually talked about in the first interview when you mentioned what turned out to be the subtitle to this song, I'll Always Love You, Ode to the Audience.
Right. That little tune is a love song. I like to call it a love song to the audience. And I started out in the little clubs or playing on the street, and playing in restaurants, anywhere to play. And a lot of times, Mike, you would look out there and everybody would be talking and eating and drinking and laughing and basically ignoring you in a corner. And that's how it was when you first started. You didn't have a name, you didn't have anything, and you were just starting out raw. But there might be one person out there paying attention or one table of people that are actually getting into the music. And so you end up playing the whole night for them. The night of music gets dedicated to them. Then maybe the next few times you play, there are a couple more people or a couple more tables, and pretty soon it grows and grows until it is what we do today. And the audiences that made up those little clubs are just multiplied into and become the audiences that are now at our festivals, listening to this show, buying our CDs or whatever. And I thought, you know what? It's plain and simple. If they don't spend their hard-earned money to come out and hear us and get our CDs and take time out of their busy lives to share an afternoon of music with us, I don't have a job. I don't get to do this. I don't get to play music full time. So it's simple as that. So I thought, well, hey, it's time to write a love song for them. So that's what that is.
There are five tracks left to cover in Joyce Cooling's return interview. We'll discuss them in part two after this public service announcement.